we're going to be looking at a variety of different stories about salvation and seeing God at work. And as a start to this series, I thought it'd be helpful if I talked actually about salvation and why it is utterly central to the purposes of God for you, for me, and all of humanity. And I'm going to come to a story, and it's a story which you'll probably be surprised about, which no one will really be expecting. If you look through the New Testament or the Old Testament and think of a story of salvation to preach on. Well, the one I've chosen is not one that I think many of you would have brought to mind, but I think it is a really powerful story. And as I said in the chat at the beginning, for those who are on, I'm going to be showing a short clip from the film The Passion of the Christ. That film is rated 18, but the clip I'm going to show is quite benign, so don't worry, but just be aware of that if that's coming. I'm not going to show any of the more difficult scenes. So yes, salvation. We need to talk about Jesus. We need to talk about Jesus. Now, one of the names of Jesus is he is Savior. He is a Savior. Jesus saves. He is our Savior. He is the Savior of all mankind. In fact, Jesus himself said in Luke 19, verse 10, the Son of Man, so when he said that, he meant himself. That's where talking about himself, came to seek and to save the lost. He came to seek and save the lost. This was the purpose of Jesus' ministry on earth. He healed people. He set people free. He taught revolutionary, remarkable things. His teaching was remarkable. But the purpose of all of this was to seek and to save the lost. He came to save people. Even when he was born, this was proclaimed. So as a helpless baby, he was announced by the angels, as recorded in Luke chapter 2, verse 11. The angel said, today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. He was announced as a Savior. He was announced to the world as a Savior. And after his death, right at the birth of the new church, as it exploded with thousands of new believers, the early church leader Peter, quoting from the Old Testament book of the prophet Joel, said this in Acts 2, verse 21, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Such good news. Such good news. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. This is what he came to do. Jesus is a Savior. He's the Savior of the world. And if you're a believer in Jesus, if you've placed your trust in him, he is your Savior. He is your Savior. And what's so good, as you start to really get to grips with the Bible, looking through the Old Testament, it speaks of a Savior King who will come one day and bring redemption, salvation. And Jesus came and showed that was him. And then after his death, resurrection, and ascension, we see the early church proclaiming boldly that Jesus is the Savior. And the church has been doing so for the last two millennia, for the last 2,000 years. And we still say, Jesus saves. He is the Savior. There's been no change to that message, no watering down, no amendment, no reconsideration. Jesus is the Savior. Well, I think, Kieran, if you get it. Sorry, this is a domestic interruption. Can you go and speak to Mummy and she'll help you? I don't know how much of you got that, but anyway, my youngest son has come to me not knowing what to do. You know, it doesn't matter what you're doing. It is a picture of God's grace to us all. It doesn't matter what you're doing. You can be doing the most important thing, but your son will still wander up to you and ask you, Daddy, I don't know what to do. Can you help me do something? I think that's such a great picture of grace. I'm turning it into a message, the interruption. As I was saying, that the Bible is clear about who Jesus is. And if you don't yet know Jesus is your Savior, if you're not sure that he is your Savior, if you think, I hear that, Tom, I mean, I know you a little bit and I know my family, but I don't know if Jesus is my Savior. Today is a day you can receive what he offers. You can receive salvation. He offers today the opportunity to be saved, to be your Savior. And if you're not sure that you are saved, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, well, today is a day you can receive that. You can receive him as your Savior. And I'll talk a bit about that later on. But a good question in response to that, you might say, well, what, Tom, what do I need to be saved from? What why do I need to be saved? Why are you talking about savior, salvation? Why do I need to be saved? What from? It's a great question and a really important question. So important we ask that question. And even if you are a believer, if you placed your trust in Jesus, no matter how many months or years or decades, you need to hear this. What are we saved from and what are we saved for? It's such an important question. So Jesus stepped into the world. I talked about his birth earlier on. He stepped into this world and he said, we got it wrong. Mankind had failed. And that he offered a better way, a new way of life. And he offered some remarkable things. He offered things like freedom, contentment, true lasting peace in our hearts, knowing God the Creator as Father. He offered the opportunity to receive our daily bread, all that we need from God. He offered freedom from addiction. He offered freedom from controlling habits. He offered freedom from fear. And all of this is summed up by freeing us from sin and all its effects. And sin's a bit of an old-fashioned word, be my thing, but it's a catch-all word for all the things that humans do which are not in God's best plan for his people. It's all the selfish, self-centered things which mankind have the natural desire to do in seeking their own good and pleasure, neglecting or actually hurting and causing suffering to other people. That's what sin is. And Jesus said he came to free us from this. He came to save us from this. He called his way, life in all its fullness. This is big stuff. This is big promises. And suddenly you start to see Jesus, well, he wasn't just a good teacher or a good moral man or a miracle maker. Wow, this is different. But of course, he did not stop there. He offered more than life in all its fullness. He offered eternal life. And he truly said this. He said, death is not the end. There is an afterlife, and we can choose where we spend that, in God's home, in God's presence, where there is peace, love, and joy. Or we can spend it in the other place where God isn't. And Jesus didn't mince his words on this. He said it is a place of eternal punishment, a place of darkness, and a place of suffering. Jesus was not just meek and mild baby in a manger. He came to do mighty things for all mankind. He came to save us. To save us from sin and to save us from death. He is truly a savior. He came to save us from sin and he came to save us from death. So how did he do this? And it's so important we look at this. He did this through his death on the cross, which we remember specifically at Easter, and through his resurrection, coming back from the dead. On the cross, he defeated sin and death. There is a mystery in this, but the Bible is unequivocal. It leaves us no doubt. This is what Jesus did. He died so that we may have life, life in all its fullness, freedom from the power of sin and the promise of eternal life. And he came back to life, the resurrection, so that we might also inherit a greater resurrection. This is good news. This is the gospel. This is the promise of salvation, that we are saved from sin and we are saved from death. So back to my earlier question, are you saved? Have you put your trust in Jesus? Have you turned from sin? Have you turned from your selfish ways and received his mercy for your sin? Have you received the promise that he has for eternal life? If you have, you have much to rejoice and be thankful for. You have received a greater gift than anything this world has to offer. You have received a prize of infinite value and worth that no money or intellect or earthly power can do. You have received life in all its fullness and eternal life. What a gift. What a gift that we have received if we placed our trust in Jesus. And I hope there's even a glimmer of joy rising in your heart if you have received this. There may even be a sort of sense of happiness, a sense of, wow, I've got something good. I know it's the 1st of November. I mean, November's a tough month and it's kind of, the weather's not great and we're in lockdown, but you have received the goodness, the blessing, the grace, the mercy, the kindness, the fullness of God. that we now might now be called the children of God. And that is what we are. This is great news. And if you're struggling, oh, Tom, I'm not feeling this. Well, you've got something so amazing to discover. You know, I'm always, always reminded in the morning of the great Victorian philanthropist and church leader, George Muller, who just said he did amazing things for God. And his almost the secret of how he walked with God so faithfully through those years was he said, I just get my soul happy in God in the morning. I get my soul happy in God in the morning. And when I wake up in the morning and at the moment, I'm not sure that happiness is the first thing that comes to mind, I must admit. And I have to say, God, I need to get my soul happy in you. I need to remember these promises of what he has done for me. What he has done for me. He has saved me from sin and from death. And if you're not sure that that's what you have, if you're not sure that, actually, Tom, I don't feel it. I don't know that. I don't know Jesus as my Savior. Well, today is a day that he can be your Savior too. You know, Jesus knows your life. The Bible says Jesus knows when we sleep. Jesus knows when we sleep and when we awake. He knows the words we're going to say before we say them. He knows our pain and our sorrow. He knows your hopes. He knows your fears. He cares for you. And you can receive these gifts, these promises today, freedom from sin and freedom and the promise of eternal life by putting your trust in him, turning from your sinful ways. So I'm, on this point, in that moment, going to move on to a story of salvation. I've talked about it. I've talked about the realities of it. I've talked about the joy of it. I've talked about the challenge and the opportunity for us who don't yet know him and call him Savior. But I'm going to give us a story of salvation. You see, all accounts of Jesus' life tells us he did amazing things. He healed sick people. He cared for the marginalized. He challenged corrupt authority. He taught people to love one another. He taught people to love their enemies, to bless and not to curse, to show mercy and to grace, even to our enemies. He said, turn the other cheek. He fed people. He stood up for the weak and the oppressed in society. He was a great person in word and deed. In fact, the Bible said he was perfect in every way and never did anything wrong. He was innocent, guiltless, kind in all he did. But the Bible also records that he was arrested because of the jealousy of the corrupt leaders he challenged. He was accused of crimes he didn't commit, beaten and tortured, despite his guilt that the accusers laid on him never being proved. And this is recorded in the Gospel of Matthew, and I'm going to read this account in Matthew 27, verses 11 to 26. Matthew 27, verses 11 to 26 says this. Meanwhile, Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, are you the king of the Jews? Yes, it is as you say, Jesus replied. When he was accused by the chief priests and the elders, he gave no answer. Then Pilate asked him, do you hear the testimony they are bringing against you? But Jesus made no reply, not even to a single charge, to the great amazement of the governor. Now it was the governor's custom at the feast to release a prisoner chosen by the crowd. At that time, they had a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. So when the crowd are gathered, Pilate asked them, which one do you want me to release to you, Barabbas or Jesus, who is called Christ? For he knew it was out of envy that they had handed Jesus over to him. When Pilate was sitting on the judge's seat, his wife sent him the message, don't have anything to do with that innocent man, for I have suffered a great deal today in a dream because of him. But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas and to have Jesus executed. Which of the two do you want me to release to you? Asked the governor. Barabbas, they answered. What shall I do then with Jesus, who is called Christ? Pilate asked. They all answered, crucify him. Why? What crime has he committed? Asked Pilate. But they shouted all the louder, crucify him. When Pilate saw that he was getting nowhere, but that instead an uproar was starting, he took water and washed his hands in front of the crowd. I am innocent of this man's blood, he said. It is your responsibility. All the people answered, let his blood be on us and on our children. Then he released Barabbas to them. But had Jesus flogged and handed him over to be crucified. This is a story of salvation. It is a story of salvation. And I am going to show you a clip which helps bring this to life. Well, I hope that brought the story to life in a way that reading it can only impart. And I hope that video came across okay for you, that you may have to watch it. So what has this got to do with salvation? What has this got to do with stories of salvation? Why, Tom, have you chosen this story? Well, I want to place us in the story, to locate where we are in this story. And as shocking as it is, the truth is we are Barabbas. We are Barabbas in this story. And it is shocking. When we look at the story and work out, where are we? Where are we? We are in the place of Barabbas. And you say, hang on, Tom. I'm not like him in all his filth and evil. He was a murderer. He was a terrorist. He was clearly an evil man. I am not like that. And I'm sorry to say that we are. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All of us. No one can say they are like Jesus. No one can match up to his perfect life. We've all failed and missed the glory of God, given up his glory for our selfish ends. And like Barabbas, we are weak and fallen short, guilty, deserve the justice which will condemn us. I want to show you something really important about this story. Barabbas' name is significant. Barabbas' name means son of the father. Bar means son. Abba means father. His name was, that was his second name, son of the father. In fact, his full name was Jesus Barabbas. In some of the Matthew manuscripts, it actually says his first name was Jesus and his second. So he was actually Jesus Barabbas. And this is, do you see the deep irony here? We have two Jesuses on trial. One is guilty as a murdering terrorist. The other is a peace-loving miracle maker, beloved by thousands. We have Jesus, the true son of the father who is innocent. And we have Jesus, the murdering terrorist. And which one goes free? Which one goes free? It is the guilty one who goes free, while the innocent goes to his death. See, Jesus Christ took the punishment which Jesus Barabbas was due for his crimes. Jesus Christ took the punishment which Jesus Barabbas was due for his crimes. So what does this mean for us? We're all like Barabbas, you say, Tom. Well, we have all fallen short of God's way and are due the punishment for our sins. But God steps in. Jesus steps in and says, I will pay the price. I will take the punishment you were due. Yes, you were guilty. Yes, you are guilty. But I will step into your place. I will take it for you. I will pay the price for you. And in return, you can receive the freedom that I deserve. Do you see, as Barabbas walks free, he just walks free. The chains are taken off him. He just walks free. Yet Jesus is held in captive. Jesus says, I will pay this price for you. And in return, you can receive the freedom that I deserve. Jesus says, I was guiltless, but will take the punishment for your guilt and give you the freedom reserved for the guiltless. And this is grace. This is the good news of the gospel, that we get what Jesus deserved, while Jesus Christ took what Jesus Barabbas deserved. It says it so brilliantly in the book of Romans, chapter 5, verses 6 to 8. You see, at the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us while we are still sinners. Christ died for us. It was a demonstration of God's love for us. Why did he do it? Because he loves us. He cares for you and he cares for me. And he wants us to have freedom from sin and the eternal life, which he had planned for us from before the creation of the world. This is the promise I talked about. Through the cross, it is available to all of us. And this story of salvation is so symbolic of the gospel, so symbolic of the transaction that Jesus offers us, that he, the guiltless, stays in captivity, yet the guilty goes free. This is the essence of salvation. And the reason we gather together as a church, because we are saved. We're the only organization that exists for the benefit of its non-members. And I'll finish on this because my time's up. We are not saved just to enjoy our salvation until we die. We are saved to be messengers so that more may hear this good news, more may receive the blessing of Christ, more Barabbases may go free, free from the sin that they're stuck in, and free from eternal punishment promised and given the promise of eternal life. See, when we truly understand the miracle of salvation, when we really get this, we will want others to know. We want others to hear this good news. We want them to also taste and see that the Lord is good. And a shameless link to Alpha, practically, we have a great opportunity in the church at the moment to introduce friends, families and work colleagues to Jesus, inviting them to Alpha. And as you know, we are running a course now, and that's got some people on, which is fantastic. But we're also planning to run another course in January. So I just want to finish on this. And say, look, we think about who else you can invite and give the opportunity to hear the good news in Alpha. And I'll leave you this challenge. I will finish now. Are you walking in the blessing of your salvation? Are you walking in all the blessing? Do you wake up in the morning and go, God, I don't feel great, but Lord, fill me with the joy of your salvation, and know it, and know it, and know it, that you are saved. You are freed from sin and all its power and all the consequences of it, and you are saved for eternal life. I just want you to challenge you. Are you walking in the blessing of that? And if not, I'd love to pray with you. I'd love to talk with you and spend time helping you enter into all the fullness of your salvation, for it is good news. If you're not, then there is so much more for you to know. And when you do, you will want others to receive it too. Amen.